Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester, and with me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
It's rolling okay for me. I feel like you're mad at me right now.
Yeah, well, we're starting this to record this podcast 44 minutes after we were supposed to, but let's move on to better and brighter things.
I would posit 16 minutes early, because I forgot I'm in the Central Time Zone.
Yeah, that's even worse. You know, one of our potential guests responded and said, what time zone are all these times in? Even though, like, the top of the chart says in huge letters Eastern Time Zone. Yeah.
But, like, by the way, that's a fine. Clear Central Coast dork asking that question.
No, that's totally... But
no,
that's
Eastern
totally
Coast
fine.
Person...
He's not the co-host of the podcast who does this every single week.
Okay, but 31 of the 32 shows that we have scheduled, I am in the East Coast, and I just didn't know...
No, you're not. No, most of them you're 8 hours away.
That's true. But no, for most of the shows we've scheduled, I'm in Florida. But I know that. I'm always on East Coast time in my head.
Yeah. All right. Swing and a miss. All right. Anyway, so yesterday we finished off our wonderful trifecta of ranking every single quarterback of all time. And you decided...
We should have ranked every quarterback of all time. We only did the top 112.
Yeah, that's true. You decided erroneously, even though I'm the one who has given Tom Brady way more MVPs than you, somehow you decide that he's number one for some silly reason. But anyway, so today we start our 32 Fans in 32 Days, and like we do every year, you and I each did power rankings from 32 to 1. And unfortunately, this year, there was a consensus about who the number one team is. So rather than the drama, because there is no drama, everybody knows who it is, we decided we'd get the worst out of the way right away. So we decided we'd start our previews with the New England Patriots.
I'd say this is the least drama there's ever been for who's number one, and even less so, it's the least drama forever's been who the team is 32. But we'll get to that in a few days.
Yeah, Okay. So anyway, so we have to discuss the Patriots as we do every year. Michael Clark. So Mike, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks, guys.
So let's jump right in. 2017 has really been a year of incredible comebacks for hateful organizations. It started obviously with the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl, but it's been neo-Nazis and Confederates, as we've seen this weekend, the KGB and Russian infiltration of America, the New York Yankees, with Aaron Judge. Mike, you only support some of those hateful organizations I just mentioned. Several of them, but not all of them. Is that correct?
That is correct. I'll leave it to the listener's interpretation, which two.
So you're loving 2017, is that correct?
I am, definitely am. I'm ready for the football season to start up again.
Chester, do you know Mike and I met for the first time ever last week?
Yeah, we had 48 minutes to chat while you were trying to get your audio to work.
Oh, sorry I left you alone with him, Mike. I do like, this is year three of us doing this. And who records in their audio under the sea? Michael, Pat's fan. Every year, his audio is it's up there in the bottom.
Yeah, it was working for 45 minutes when yours wasn't though. So no, Mike can hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
I know he can hear me. I think the ipchem is that right? I think the opposite is easier. What should we talk about? So I just want to, like, before we get into the Patriots, if anybody has like a segment suggestion for the 32 Fans in 32 Days, send them our way, because
we're trying to mix it up from the last couple of years.
People love the roster game. We're going to keep the roster game going. I already have that set up.
Oh my
that's
god,
that's
so
America's
bad.
Favorite game. but people asked us not to do wins and losses in the schedule with every single fan. So, right? So we're not going to do that with... We might do that a few times. We're not going to do that with every single person.
Yeah.
You know, I have a couple segments like, coach, like, when's your coach going to get fired? But that's a waste of time to do with Michael today.
Yeah, I think so. Michael, I'm going to skip right to the schedule. Are you one of those Pats fans who thinks you're going 16-0
nope.
this year? Okay.
If you remember...
I wish you said, nope, 19-0, baby.
So if you remember, the first time that I was on coming off of... Super Bowl victory. I actually predicted the Pats to go worse both
yes,
times.
That's true.
Yes,
you do get credit. That's true.
He gets no credit. He's down on them, and he's always wrong.
No, yeah, but he's not one of those obnoxious guys. Like, I've been reading these previews for every team by, like, you know, like the local blogger on SB Nation and ESPN, and where everybody thinks their team's going to go 12-4. And these Patriots fans are so obnoxious. They're like, the main question this year is, will the Patriots go undefeated this year? And it's, I just want to throw my computer out the window.
So I love the Patriots. And so I'm only assuming how all the rest of America feels about this. no more think pieces about 2007. The Ringer, stop. Stop. I cannot read any more content about the last 10 years of the past. And I love the past. Yeah. I can only imagine how painful it is for every other fan.
Yeah, I didn't click on any of that stuff, but I have definitely seen it. There's been so many GIFs of like Randy Moss destroying the Dolphins in that game where they were up like 5,000-0 at the halftime in 2007. I don't know, like the whole Twitter, all of Twitter now is just like 2007 Patriots GIFs.
Yeah. And by the way, Randy Moss was doing it before it was cool in New England for years in Minnesota. So please, I prefer seeing Randall Cunningham toss it up to him over Tom Brady.
I was looking at the roster.
All right, so let me ask you the big question here, because look, the Pats are coming back with everybody. Obviously, they're loaded. You know, they brought in a bunch of new pieces. They got Tom Brady, another Pro Bowl caliber receiver. You know, which he hasn't had in a couple of years, obviously, since the aforementioned Moss left and Wes Welker left as well. I guess to me the question is if or when Brady falls off a cliff. Not that I mean, again, after what we saw in the Super Bowl, it's not necessarily something we can expect. But again, like every quarterback in history, and at some point at 39 or 40, it happens instantly. Like Peyton Manning went from the best quarterback in the league to the worst almost instantly. Brett Favre, again, 2009, you know, top two quarterback. 2010, worst quarterback in the league. You know, Brady has like this quack, you know, fake doctor who gives him all these fake pills and everything. But there have been a couple of times in the last couple of years where he started the season slow and people started to question, oh, you know, and then of course he stormed back. So is that the only thing that's going to hold this team back? Because I don't see a way that they don't go 14-2. I hate to say it.
I agree with you that it is inevitable that it will happen eventually. I don't know if it's going to be this year, but the expression is time is an undefeated opponent. You know, a lot of Pats fans are saying, oh, just sit him the first four games this season, just like they did last year. Like, let Jimmy start four games, then Tom's out and fresh. I'm not going so far as to say that. I am expecting the same results from Tom this year, but I'm very optimistic about him. I have an irrational love of the man. I refuse to use his last
name. And I forget, when you guys meet, does he call you Mike also, or is it, that's just the one-way show? Tom.
He actually refers to me as Mr. Clark, but... Like you said, it's going to happen in a snap, and I don't know when it's going to happen. But I don't see it happening this year, and I don't know. But I agree with you that that's, you know, worst case scenario. I think that's, you know, break glass if emergency is Tom Brady becoming, you know, normal, but not even normal, but below average quarterback. It'll be interesting. It's interesting.
From your mouth to God's ears, below average quarterback.
But here's the thing. They didn't trade Garoppolo in the offseason, but he's a free agent after this year, right?
Yeah, so they're going to have to make a hard decision, I feel like, after this year.
Can I ask a question nobody cares about?
Yes.
Do you think I could roster, in the legal leagues, you know about the legal leagues, right, Clark?
Yep, I'm familiar.
Do you think I could roster Jimmy Garoppolo for a whole year if he's not going to play one snap? For a second year of, like, is he worth rostering for 1 year where he's going to stay on my – it's so hard to keep –
I don't know. I feel like we've been down this road with Patriots backups before. You know, your Brian Hoyers, your Ryan Mallets, your guys that, oh, he studied at the knee of Tom Brady, so he might be something special. And then they're Brian Hoyer and Ryan Mallett. I mean, you know, I don't know what to expect from Garoppolo if he goes to a different team. If he's not in the system of, you know, the New England offense, if it's not throwing balls to a litany of white guys who no other team wants. I don't really – he's a mystery to me, Garoppolo.
All right, so let me ask you another question. Usually the team wins the Super Bowl and they sort of get raided by a free agency. And that's why it's so weird, because this team actually – improved somehow. I mean, you lost LeGarrette Blount, but you replaced him with like Gillis Lee and Rex Burkhead. You lost Martellus Bennett. You replaced him with Dwayne Allen. You lost Logan Ryan, I guess. But they added Brandon Cooks, where the Saints basically said, hey, you know, we'll give you a Pro Bowl receiver for a Pro Bowl cornerback. And the Patriots are like, no. And the Saints are like, all right, we'll just give you a Pro Bowl receiver then. And then you add all these guys on defense. I think Stephon Gilmore, another guy from the Bills. By the way, him and Gillislee are just going to torch the Bills this year. It's going to be hilarious. David Harris, another guy who spent a lot of time in the division. Who are you most excited about of all these additions that the Patriots have added this year?
I'd be very interested to see how the combination of Gilmore and Butler play in the secondary. I wouldn't be surprised if this is the only year we get the two of them in the same secondary. But if Gilmore's as good as advertised, their defense is really going to be a kind of like a no fly zone. I'm looking forward to that.
What's the weakness if you had like pick a weakness on this team right now? What's like the spot you're most nervous about?
Morality and ethics.
Yankees Patriots fan has no concern about that.
I would say that the thing that has me most concerned is kind of like the Golden State Warriors problem of there being only one ball. And so if you look on offense, you know, a lot has been made of Austin Carr this preseason. Austin Carr, unless someone gets hurt, isn't going to dress most of the year if he's even on the team, because he's looking up at Cooks and Edelman and Mitchell and Hogan and Amendola. And, you know, maybe he'll bump Amendola once or twice, but like they're stacked at wide receiver. And then my issue, I think, with the running game is, while I love them both and they each had like a stellar game in the playoffs, James White and Deion Lewis are essentially the same player. They do the same things. Similar. So
people also think Lewis is young, but he's like sneaky, been around for a while.
Yeah. So you can never really play them.
Can't stay healthy.
So I'd be curious to see how McDaniels and Belichick kind of balance the touches within the offense. And, you know, Belichick likes to.
Well, I think the fact that Deion Lewis got a dozen touches in the first preseason game implies that he's pretty low on the depth chart right now.
I would agree, which surprises me because he's very explosive. He scored three different ways in the divisional round game against the Texans last year.
But you see who they trusted in the Super Bowl, and that was really
that's
White.
True. Yeah, White was the guy.
We said this stat a bunch of times last year, but Lewis was getting ready to break the all-time single season broken tackles record before he got hurt in 2015. Like
through six
and
games.
Speaking of stats that are done to death and everyone knows them, the Pats are undefeated in games in which Deion Lewis dresses. They've never lost a game in which he plays.
Didn't they lose to the Jaguars this week in the preseason?
You are absolutely right. I take it back.
I'm looking forward to which tight end you guys cut, like James O'Shaughnessy, because any of those guys is going to be the Jets' opening day starter. I'm not even kidding. Right now we have Austin Seferian Jenkins as our like starter, and the guy is just atrocious. He's the Bucks tight end version of Roberto Aguayo, Austin Seferian Jenkins.
I know you'll probably get into it in the Jets podcast, but when was the last time you had a tight end, Keith? The last time you had a tight end.
What was what? Johnny Mitchell. Yeah. Kyle Brady was okay. Anthony Becht is like our new play-by-play guy or our new color commentator. He was confident.
Yes.
All right. Are you ready for the roster game, Mike? Do we have a song for my God. Winchester?
No.
All right, pick a number from 0 to 100, Michael.
Of course.
He says 12 every year.
Do you have an issue with the fact that I say 12 every year?
Yeah.
All right.
I'll just count down the days till this team's 10.
What do you know about Sam Cotton? All right. A fake fan here.
Rosters have like 90 guys at this point. This isn't fair.
No, it's fair. I would know. Name a guy in the Jets. I'll tell you why he's bad.
It's easy though.
Sam Cotton, he's a rookie tight end at Nebraska, 6'4", 250. Man, they always find these big guys. I liked what I do. The famous Chester getting the long snapper. That's my favorite one of the roster. Roster game is truly our most popular.
The backup long snapper.
Wait all year for the roster game.
Yeah.
What else do we have for Michael?
I mean, there's nothing. This team is. I hate to say it, but like, if you're picking, if you're picking a team to win the Super Bowl right now, you have to pick the Patriots. There's no, you know, the NFC. There's, it's just like last year. There's three or four teams that are all about equal. In the AFC, it's the Patriots, huge drop, and then like Pittsburgh, Oakland, whatever. It's, ugh, it sucks.
Is
but
there
like,
a chance Belichick,
know?
Could like just give up if they win the Super Bowl this year and be like, realize like, let's just go out on top.
No, I don't. I don't believe. I mean, he's got nothing else to do.
I mean, there's so many people in Boston whose wives he needs to cuckold. So.
He's the ultimate football guy. He's
I mean, there's so many people who would be thrilled for him to cuck their wives.
Michael, give us something.
This is annoying talking about the Patriots.
I can tell about my experience watching the Super Bowl last year, if you're interested in that, or if it's only going to...
Nope, not interested. Tell us.
I'm interested in hearing like how you felt at halftime. All right,
so I went to a...
I need more of that feeling.
...a lot of my friends, which is mistake number one. You never go to a watch party when your team's in it. I should have been like in a bunker by myself. So...
Yeah, you should be by yourself with like one friend or like family member who loves the Pats. And that's it. You shouldn't be with.
But for them, Super Bowls are so old hat that like you know.
That's like the you know it's an annual thing for you.
So there were a lot of bandwagon Falcons fans there. So it was awful. For the first half, it was absolutely miserable, and that last drive when the Pats are down 21-0 and they're driving and they're in the red zone, I check my numbers that I had, and I had Falcons 1, New England 3. And so I'm like, well, I would love to hit the box, but I think I care more about my team winning the Super Bowl. So as Gostkowski ended up making the field goal, like I just like said to my friends, like, oh, like I've never been more annoyed to win $500. Which, of course, like made them hate me even more.
Yeah, you're not doing well. Right.
So as I'm like steaming at halftime, I'm watching the halftime show, and before they kick it to the halftime show, they go to like the Fox NFL Sunday guys cut to like, all right, and like let's go and see the social media czar of the night, and it's Katie Nolan. I was like, oh my god, she must be dying right now. She must be so annoyed that she has to be on camera and smiling right now, talking about what everyone's tweeting about this abomination of a football game.
I mean, so I don't know what you're talking about. I thought the first half was fantastic. Yeah, it was a great game.
Truly one of the best games I've ever seen.
Yeah, and that's really all I remember.
I don't remember where you watched, Chester. How many people left the Super Bowl party you were at?
The Patriots fans left.
Yeah, they left.
Nobody else left. Everyone else was loving it.
Yeah.
In the second half when
there was no second half,
the Falcons made it 28-3, which is still the background of my cell phone, is the scoreboard saying 28-3 with 2:15 or whatever is left. So after the touchdown to make it 28-3, my friend gets up and gets in my face. And goes, what's the matter, Clark? You're looking a little deflated.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the best you can do.
Shut the hell up. Like, sit down.
Mike Clark, 6'4". He's really 6'4". I saw him in person.
Yeah. Yeah, not deflated. Yeah, he's a big guy. Yeah. I don't want to. I saw someone tweeted a few weeks ago, and I actually liked it. It said, like, if you've never actually said the words president and the name of the current occupant of the White House consecutively, because I still never have. So I like to live in a world where election night never happened and where the Super Bowl ended at halftime. So Mike is here to see if the Patriots can overcome that, you know, that rough beatdown they faced to the Falcons last year, and try and do a little better in the postseason this year, as far as I'm concerned. All right, so quick predictions here, Mike. What's your honest prediction for this season?
My honest prediction is that do not go 16-0. I believe they're going to lose the Oakland game. Because that might be in Mexico.
By the way, speaking of Oakland and Mexico.
Speaking of in Mexico.
Not only am I in Mexico, but our driver is a huge Raiders fan. I think he lived in L.A. at one point. when the Raiders were in LA in the 80s. And so I tried to like start a sports conversation with him about soccer. He's like, I'm an American football guy. I played American football, I think, in college. And he's a huge Raiders fan. He's such a big Raiders fan that he got his like cab to have XM radio so he could like if he's driving during a game, he could listen to the games. So that's like real dedication for
yeah, that's pretty impressive.
For a guy who lives in Mexico. So
all right, but Mike, honestly, are you expecting a sixth Super Bowl this year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kiva, what about you?
I am.
I mean, they could lose any game. Like, every single Super Bowl they play, they win by three or four. So,
yeah.
Like, but obviously, they're the best team. This is the best team they've had. The only thing I will predict is I think this is the beginning of the end for Gronk. I do think he's totally falling apart. He's not the same guy. I think, like, you know, the fact that they...
Yeah, and without him, the Patriots can't win. So, you know, that's a tremendous loss.
They could only win...
He's been pretty healthy this preseason.
I just... The just one game? They can't stay together for 19
games. No, like, they're training camp. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, Akiva, they're going 14-2. The best we can hope for is, you know, they get upset in the playoffs.
Right. Even if something happens to Brady, what's the opposite of God forbid? like Garoppolo could still easily lead them to 14-2.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do want someone's gonna have to step up. I mean, you know, we have 31 more teams to talk about, but I am curious because I have seen a lot of people say like, you know, six of the seven best teams are in the NFC after the Patriots. It's very, you know, it's really all NFC teams that are the elite teams. So I'm very curious to see like who's the team you're not afraid of anybody in the AFC. Who's the team that sort of would make you the most nervous in a hypothetical AFC championship game, Mike?
I would say Oakland.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Steelers.
No.
I do think there's – I mean, we'll get into this, but there's definitely some flukiness with the Raiders. I definitely think there's a little bit of more aggression than people are
karma could come back for the Tuck Rule.
Oh, who cares?
By the way,
if there was any karma, Charles,
yeah, there's no karma. Look who's in the White House. Look who's holding the Lombardi Trophy.
Charles
please,
Charles Woodson hit Brady in the head on that sack.
Oh my God!
I can't believe we had to start with this.
I know. Well, like even look, it can only get better.
I mean, no, we're going to talk about the Jets. It's going way downhill.
Yeah, I mean, this team. What's going to be the total? What's going to be the spread on the Jets at Patriots game? Like 24?
Yeah, something like that. It'll be butt fumble esque. Like it'll be like 48-3, the final score. And not only does
how many points would you have to get, Akiva, to take the Jets in that game?
I just don't think Belichick's going to even care to run up the score because he's going to like rest. He's going to rest his starters. It's like when
Roethlisberger rested against the Browns.
It's like when the University of Michigan, like before their first Big Ten game, you know, they'll play
like when they lost, they lost that play.
Who's the worst D2 team we could start with and lose to? No offense, Robbie. Not only like are the Mets terrible and the Jets terrible, but I'm a lifelong Newcastle Magpies fan. And they started off the season today with a 2-0. We say nil in football, not soccer. Home loss without my beloved Dondre Yedlin, who's injured, and one of the squad's best players, Jonjo Shelvey, also got a red card.
Oh, is that why you picked them? Because of Yedlin? Because they have a good American?
No,
I don't. I know we discussed this on the podcast, but I don't remember anymore.
I like the coach, Rob Benitez, but yeah. Tough loss to Tottenham.
All right, so Mike, let's talk about a more American sport. You know, as things stand now, the Yankees and the Twins are like within a game of playing each other in the wild card game. So will you go to that game with me?
If the Yankees and the Twins play at Yankee Stadium, a one-game playoff, I will absolutely go to that game.
Ooh.
I mean, I don't know why I'm subjecting myself to this. But...
Well, that will either be one of the best or worst days of your life, Chester.
No, the Twins never beat the Yankees. The Twins have no business making the playoffs.
What if you're like garbage closer? Strikes out Judge to end that game, and you win 5-4.
They already traded the garbage closer to Washington.
Well, why are you in the playoff race and trading closers? That doesn't seem like it makes any sense.
Because the day that they made the day of the trading deadline, they had like a 9% chance to make the playoffs, and then since then, they've won like 8 of the last 10. Okay. And also they're like 2 games above 500, but everybody in the AL is in the wild card race. So the only races left in baseball are the AL wild card race and the NL Central. Everything
Akiva,
else is like
I
you
think
know, Akiva, literal
I
garbage.
Children
Akiva says.
Strike out Aaron Judge tomorrow.
Why, he's been that bad recently?
He's swinging post-All-Star break. The home run derby curse.
That has nothing to do with anything.
Well, hopefully, I mean, look, David Wright has like 18 home runs since that like home run derby 2007. So,
I still love Aaron Judge, but he strikes out all the time now. I think he's.
Isn't it weird that Mike hates the Red Sox? Like, you hate the Red Sox,
oh, so
right?
much.
But you like the. I mean, it's just so bizarre to love the Patriots and hate the Red Sox.
I'm a bizarre dude.
And remind me, are you a Celtics fan? Remind me.
If I had to declare allegiance in the NBA, I probably would declare.
They haven't reached their peak in 2 years. Yeah, in 2 years, he'll be a Celtics fan. Come on. They're good, but they're not like, you know, they don't have all their pieces yet. Once they get all
the pieces,
they've
got
Paul George, you would have said.
I love watching him play.
Oh, I thought you meant you love the first Isaiah Thomas and the way he runs franchises and treats women.
I really aspire to treat women the same way that Isaiah Thomas does.
Yeah, he doesn't even spell his name right, the first Isaiah Thomas.
I could never spell Isaiah.
He was like the early Dwayne Wade in terms of, you know, like misspelling his name and annoying everybody, getting the red line under his name every time he typed it.
He's one of the...
Yeah, I mean, we hate the Patriots so much, we're talking about how the first Isaiah Thomas spelled
his name.
Anything
else for Michael? Michael, congrats on your 35th place finish in the Pool Pools golf pool. Anything else for him, Chester?
Wow, he loses something. That's good. I don't know. You know. So, yeah, we're going to be a little freewheeling with these previews. Again, there's some teams who are a little more interesting. The Patriots are one of those teams. They're not interesting because they're so predictable because they're so good. Yeah. You know, like, no, there's nothing to say about them. Like, what's new?
We do usually, like, go position by position and ask about the player, but I don't want to hear about, you know, freaking Julian.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about these guys.
That was a great catch.
If you want. Tough times. Bill Simmons, by the way, on his idiot podcast with what's his name, where they ranked the 25 best Patriots wins, he said Julian Edelman is the third greatest receiver in Patriots history. Which is bonkers. Like, he's, if you want to say he's eighth or ninth, I think that's a stretch.
All right, well, who's obviously that better, Moss? The guy from the 80s.
I wouldn't even say Moss.
I'm blanking.
Stanley.
Stanley Morgan.
Yeah, he loves Stanley also. Didn't he pass? That guy didn't.
Would you put Terry Glenn above Edelman?
Yeah, Glenn played a lot longer.
Terry Glenn was a sneaky great Madden player.
I understand that, but Edelman has rings.
Oh, so now receivers are ranked by rings? So I guess Randy Moss isn't a good receiver then.
No, I adore Randy Moss.
Some football outsiders.
I mean, Stanley Morgan, Wes Welker, Irving Fryer, Terry Glenn, Gino Cappelletti, Hall of Famer from the 60s, also a kicker, by the way.
You can't.
Randy Moss, obviously. Troy Brown, we forgot about Troy Brown, who played, you know.
You can't put Wes Welker above Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman has a longevity. He's had seasons that
Wait, hold on. You said Julian Edelman has longevity? Welker had 3,000 more yards. What are you talking about?
I'm saying he's been on the team longer.
Welker had...
Edelman was second...
Okay, so you just said Julian Edelman has longevity over Wes Welker.
He was second banana to Welker for years. He was like, he was their nickelback for a couple seasons.
Wait, so what, under what argument are you saying that Julian Edelman's had a better Patriots career than Wes Welker?
This is a boring conversation. Wow.
Because he played as long but had fewer catches and fewer yards and fewer touchdowns? All right, anyway.
No, he's had a longer pass career. All right, going nowhere.
And that's... I don't know what you're talking about. Like, he's played less time and anyways. All right, so we hate the Patriots. We hate all the Patriots. We hate Julian Edelman. We hate Tom Brady. We hate Mike Clark. I mean, we don't, but we hate the fact that he roots for these terrible teams. Anything else, Kiva? Anything else, Mike?
Yeah, I sprayed suntan lotion in my eyes today accidentally. I was like going for my forehead.
I'm so happy to hear that.
And I was out for the whole day. Like, I went down to the pool at like 9:30 a.m., sprayed it in my eyes, and like I couldn't open my eyes.
That's it. That's your
day. I had to go up to my room for like 6 hours, and I couldn't do anything. I literally wasted a whole day of my life because I sprayed, like, my eyes burned. I couldn't open them until like.
You also wasted that as an excuse to tell your wife for when you need to get away from the kids to record a couple podcasts.
Have been days in my life I would have done such a thing on purpose. My wife also claims I did this like 5 years ago also, like accidentally sprayed suntan lotion in my eyes and like was just in like capacitated for a few hours. But today was literally like 9 or 10 hours. Like I took a nap because I couldn't handle the pain of opening my eyes. It was really like truly a terrible day.
Yeah.
I will say... For, you know, Pat's content, I'm excited about the fact that the quarterbacks in our division are Jay Cutler, Tyrod Taylor, and question mark?
No, Josh McCown. Don't insult the McCowns there. Worst.
Hackenberg.
Yeah. I mean, Hackenberg.
Mike, you're on the Facebook page. Oh, we should have mentioned this at the top, by the way. So, yeah, so we created that Facebook group about 2 or 3 weeks ago where we have well over 100 members.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going really well. But did you see us? We ranked every single AFC East quarterback since the Tom Brady era. Did you see that, Mike Clark?
I've not seen that yet. I will.
Yeah, it's Chad Pennington, number one by a way. Hold on, now I gotta go find this. People are annoying.
JP Lossman.
I still think JP Lossman might break out.
I gotta find this now. AFC. East. Kiva, did you listen to the Seinfeld podcast, by the way?
I just listened to your Seinfeld podcast.
I listened to it too today.
Yeah, you did it. You did a workmanlike job. No, it was good. You had one very good joke about Hiroshima. It was really funny.
Yeah, Rob missed that one.
Thank you.
Okay, so Adam Cohn posted this on August 5th in the Facebook group. He ranked it Chad Pennington. So these are the AFC East quarterbacks the Patriots have faced during the Brady era. He said Chad Pennington 1, Ryan Tannehill 2, Drew Bledsoe 3, Ryan Fitzpatrick 4, Jay Fiedler 5. Fiedler had, for two teams, so did Fitzpatrick. 6, Tyrod Taylor. 7, Brett Favre one season.
Why
8, Chad Henne.
7?
I don't know, 9 Alex Van Pelt, 10 Trent Edwards, 11 Mark Sanchez, 12 JP Losman. It's getting ugly. So then I went ahead and I actually made like a statistical analysis of this. My rankings are 1 Pennington, 2 Tannehill, 3 Tyrod Taylor, 4 Fitzmagic, 5 Jay Fiedler, 6 Bledsoe, 7 Mark Sanchez, 8 Vinny Testaverde, 9 Trent Edwards, 10 Chad Henne, 11 JP Losman, who by the way played for Miami also in addition to Buffalo, 12 Brett Favre, 13 Geno Smith, 14 EJ Manuel. I only did guys who started at least 16 games. So...
That was really like a horror show.
Spurgeon
win.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Spurgeon started for the Vikings once. I don't know if he ever started for the Jets, did he?
No, I believe he was
the 112 worst quarterbacks of all time list.
Yeah. Right. Eva, did you see that I tried to predict your top 10 for the quarterback
Yeah, I think
ranking?
You, well, I, that podcast's out now, so I think I could say.
Of course.
I believe you got all 10 except. I think Otto Graham. You may have gotten 10 for 10. Otto Graham was right.
Yeah, because you don't have Otto Graham, Akiva, because you're an idiot. And also, he mixed up 1 and 2, though.
Because I only count some of his seasons, not all of them.
Yeah. He doesn't count the first 6 NFL championships that Otto Graham won for some reason.
Well, because they weren't NFL; they were AAFC.
Yes, they were. Yes, the Cleveland Browns were the champions of the National Football League. I don't know what you're talking about.
I believe they were. They were. I don't count anything pre 1950.
You do, but only for half the teams.
If you want to hear more of this argument, listen to yesterday's podcast.
Anyway, join the Facebook group, listen to our 100 quarterbacks. Most of the podcasts will be a little bit more professional than this, but we're just frustrated with the Patriots. No offense, Mike.
Yeah, and we'll be back with a team, a surprise team.
Yeah, surprise to me, because I don't know who's next.
All right, thanks, Mike. Mike is on Twitter at an unsuccess story, which unfortunately is not the reality for his football team. All right. Thanks a lot, guys. That was over. Bye.
Electric lights blow my mind, but I feel all right. I never stop, it's how we ride, coming up until we die. You catch my eye. You wanna fly? I'm so alive. Never stop, it's how we ride. Coming up until we die. I don't wanna go to school, I just wanna break the rules. Boys and girls across the world, put it on our dancing shoes. Going to the discotheque, getting high and getting wrecked. I don't wanna go to school, I just wanna break the rules. I don't wanna go to school, I just wanna break the rules. And girls across the world, put it on our dancing shoes. Going to the discotheque, getting high and getting wrecked. I don't wanna go to school, I just wanna break the rules. my guitar, sunglasses on, so light it up, never stop, it's how we ride, coming up until we die.